What, I guess, is the biggest difference you've seen from training camp number two for you compared to at the start of the year?
Well, I think that the biggest thing is the guys are quicker to understand what we're trying to do system-wise. We've modified a few things with our systems, and it seems like they've been able to grasp it much quicker. Now, that being said, we'll see how it translates into the games, but I find that they're picking things up quicker, and it's mostly because they understand my language, they understand the terms that we're using, where when a new coach comes in, he's got certain ways he explains things, he uses different words than maybe the previous coaches have, and it takes him a while to pick it up, but so far so good into this second training camp.
Did it make it easier because your team went in on a winning streak, 5 of 7, had 11 points of 14, the guys come back in a better frame of mind, more willing to listen?
I think the answer is yes and no. I don't think it ever hurts to be winning, but even if we had lost a couple, it's so long ago. It seems like it's been ages since we played, but I think the biggest thing is kind of over those last bunch of games, us being in the games, us being able to win a few has got some hope. The guys are able to maybe see the light flickering at the end of the tunnel, and that's big. You want to know that you're going to be in the games, and we weren't in the games early, but as of late, we're there. It's we're knocking on the door to either be close, tie the game up, or we're in the lead, and that's where you need to be in hockey games to win.
This team hasn't had a lot of continuity behind the bench for the last 6 years. Next season would be only the second time in 7 years you'd have the same head coach, so guys know what to expect coming in. How important is it for you to build on these 22 games left to ensure that it helps for next season? Can you send that message to your players who are obviously sick of losing that these 22 games, even though they don't help us in the standings this year, do really matter for next year?
Yeah, and it's already been sent. It's the, you know, coming out of the break, we have firmly sent the message that what we're doing during this time of practice and through the games are how we're going to play the game next year. I don't want to be coming into training camp next year teaching a whole bunch of systems. We should have a good number of these guys back next year, and we should be able to roll right into it and get going. And I thought that's what cost us this year. I thought a couple of new system things weren't picked up very well, and we had to change out of it. We didn't have success with it, and that shouldn't be a factor next year. But these games are big for the individuals and for the group as well, because we want to have success. But the biggest thing for me through the end here is to be hammering home on to continue to hammer home on our habits and our system play.
Here with head coach Dallas Aikens, Andrew Ferentz talked about how it's easy to go in, if you're a young guy, into a winning organization and see what all the vets are doing and having the success. Haven't had a lot of that here. Added some veteran guys lately, and Hendricks and Ferentz, guys who know how to compete hard every night. Have you seen a difference in your young skilled guys in their overall night-to-night competitive level as far as what it takes to win?
Yeah. As of late, yes, and you're right. Most teams have been, the way they've been built is young players come in, the veteran guys run everything, and those good teams like the Boston Bruins, teams like that, their veterans have unbelievable habits, unbelievable work habits. They have an attention to detail, and a young player comes in, they if they're have any type of character at all, they're like, oh, okay, this is how it's done, and they fall in, and the continuity keeps going. You know, here in Edmonton coming in, the a lot of the leadership had been put on the younger players, and I'm not quite sure they were ready for it. And so by bringing in the Ferentzes and the Gordons and now Hendricks, you know, Mark Fraser to a certain degree, like we've got a number of guys that have great habits, great work ethic. They've got the attention to detail that we're looking for, and as we add more players of that ilk, I think you'll see this team start to transform. But I do see our younger guys, the guys that don't have a lot of experience in this league, or who are young in age, growing, and they're slowly turning into men.
You're with head coach Dallas Aikens. You've had 60 games, and sometimes it takes that time, maybe shorter, to really get an understanding of your players, what makes each individual guy tick. And if we go through some of the young guys, maybe what have you learned about Taylor Hall that you know how as a coach maybe you'd coach him different coming out of this than maybe you did in game one?
Well, yeah. Hey, listen, I know the guys that have been here all year, I'm fair to say I know them inside out, and it takes time. You don't get that in 2 weeks or even 2 months. It takes sometimes a whole year to figure it out. But, you know, I'm not going to go too deep in on this, but the one thing I truly know about Taylor Hall is that he wants to be the best player on the ice, and he's hard on himself, and he expects to be the best player on the ice. And that's an encouraging thing for a coach, and it should be an encouraging thing for our team. And we need to continue to teach him and show him how to play the game so he can be the best left winger on the ice each night.
At this point right now, is Ryan Nugent-Hopkins the most committed of your young skill guys to that two-way game that you talked earlier about, a guy like Jonathan Toews? Is Nugent-Hopkins maybe not getting as much credit for that game publicly in your eyes?
Yeah, he's made some massive strides, boy. And you know, he's taking the next step. We're using him on the penalty kill a lot now. You know, he's getting stronger. He's been able to handle some more minutes. So I think he's quietly going about his business, and that's how I want it to go. I want it to go quietly. I don't want to be comparing Nuge to other players, but, you know, I spoke about Toews today and his role on that Canadian team, and I think the world of that player. And I think Nuge is growing. He's growing into his own skin. I think he's understanding his role on this team and how important he is to our team. And the biggest thing that I've been trying to push Nuge in is to push back a little bit more. I don't think it comes quite in his nature. He's a very respectful kid. I think he's been very respectful of the other players in the league. And we're quietly pushing him to be a little bit less respectful of the players on the other teams.
That seems maybe something that's encompassing of a lot of your younger guys. They're not a real big bite in many of their games. Taylor Hall shows it at times when he gets mad. He admitted he doesn't like to get involved in scrums because he thinks it gets him off his game. As a coach and a guy who had to play that way to stay in the league, can you get guys to be, I guess, less respectful on a continual basis? And how hard is that to bring out in play?
Well, I think it's extremely hard. I'm a firm believer in either you've got some nastiness in you or you don't. And it's okay if you don't. But to go ask a player to go play that type of game and he doesn't have that gene inside him, it is the exact same thing as asking a very limited skilled guy to go score 30 goals. That's not going to happen. So, but the biggest thing that we do ask our guys is if one guy's in there, we all have to be in there. And we never want anybody isolated in a scrum, even if it's not in your nature or maybe not your job to do that. You have to support your teammates. And if you're on the outside, that is a huge, huge red flag for me and for that player's teammates. But the one thing that we've seen here at the start of the year, maybe through the first 15 or 20 games, we did have guys on the outside of scrums. Hey, I don't do that. And we weren't supporting each other. But now when something's happening on the ice, we do have everybody in there pushing and pulling together. And that's an important thing on a team.
There's been a lot of focus on your power play. I did an extensive study on it, and funny enough, out of the top 10 power plays last year, there's only two of them that are top 10 this year. It changes from year to year with personnel. You've got a lot of passers, not necessarily a lot of guys who really want to shoot. Yakupov's a shooter. Have you talked to guys to try to get them to be more of a shooter, like maybe Taylor Hall and others? And how do you go about that? And does that change in what you're going to use in your power play format the remainder of the season?
Yeah, well, you know what we were talking about just before I came in here. And And you're right. It's there's a number of things that I agree with you on. Number one is special teams from 1 year to another year, they have nothing to do with anything. It not only does your personnel change, but the personnel that you're playing against changes. And so it's very hard to compare 1 year to another. The second thing is you're right. The guys that we have on our power play, if you go through the 10 players that we use consistently, they almost all of them are pass first guys. And yes, we encourage them, we plead, we yell, we scream, we're beating them over the head to shoot more. But it doesn't come naturally to them. And when they have to start thinking about it, that's that extra second that the play dies. So what we're trying to do here, we're talking about, like, we are committed to being a shooting power play. And that is what we're going to build for next year, especially when we're looking at personnel. We want to stick with the 1-3-1 setup that is, I think, the most dangerous in the league. It's almost impossible to defend. We find it extremely hard to defend on our penalty kill. So we want to stick with that. And for that to work, we need guys to put the puck to the net. The thing what I alluded to, we were just speaking about, was I asked our staff, are we trying to fit, you know, square pegs into round holes by doing this? Should we just go back to something where we're going to try to pass the puck in the net? And I don't think we can do it. I think we have to be committed to what works. The players have to be committed to what is working around the league, and that's shooting the puck. And the one thing that did happen over the last couple of games is we switched guys around again, still in that same 1-3-1, and we ended up getting more pucks to the net. So we're going to stick with it. It's something that we spend a lot of time thinking about, a lot of time practicing, a lot of time talking about. It's not something that we've just swept under the carpet and is not a concern to us.
You're with head coach Dallas Aikens. What's the one thing you've learned the most through the first 60 games as a coach?
Just to breathe, I think. I think early on in the season, my intensity got up very, very high. I don't think it's something that it's ever going to be taken out of me, but I do have a fair amount of fire from time to time, and I think with this group, maybe the expectations got a little bit ahead of themselves, and that's from me. I found myself very angry early in the season, where now I firmly understand where our needs are, where we need to get better, what we need to do with certain guys moving forward, and I'm a little bit more at ease at where we're at as a team, and I feel like we've got the process going, the plan going, where we can really build a good program moving forward.
Appreciate your time.
All right, anytime.